Welcome. We're happy you can be with us. Oh, we have a little bit more time this morning. That's good. All right. Okay, we're going to use all that time. Okay, we'll get you out of here by 12. Don't worry. All right, we need that time. If you have a brochure, it has some announcements on the front. Firstly, there's an annual general meeting. Okay, it's for the government, related to the government business. Okay, so it's on the sheet there. You can read that. Resound. Okay, June 28th. We're going to have a special event here, Resound, and there are invitations. See the little card? And we're going to hand them out as you go out this morning. It's your chance to pick up one or more. You know, if you have three friends, pick up four. If you have four friends, pick up five, etc. Okay, that's it. All right, and the rest is on your sheet. Okay, we're continuing. We started a number of weeks ago. This is the sixth week. A great cloud, not crowd, but cloud of witnesses. That phrase is used in Hebrews chapter 11. After the chapter, it says, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Moses, by faith, Noah, by faith, etc. That's chapter 11. Chapter 12 says, refers back, that refers to that whole group as a great cloud of witnesses to the matter of faith, belief. Okay, we began that series, and this is the sixth week. We began last week with Noah, so we did, right? And we're continuing a little bit more this week on Noah, and next week we'll go on to Abraham. Okay, now, if you weren't here the last 5 weeks, it's okay, because we've got a video which will bring you up to speed, starting, right? This is Noah in the ark recounting to his children their past history, and this is probably how the, you know, things were transmitted across the generations until Moses eventually got to write Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Okay, we're going to watch that video. I think it's good. Okay.
Formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. On the second day, God separated the waters to form the seas and the sky. On the third day, God created the land with trees and plants and fruits.
Will we ever see land again?
Of course. Of course we will. The next day, he put the sun, the moon, and stars in the heavens. And on the fifth day, all the creatures of the sea and of the air. And on the sixth day, all the creatures of the ground. And then he made us to live in paradise. Until Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit. And with one choice, they learned both good and evil. Since then, since Cain killed Abel, God has seen too much evil in human hearts. Wrong choices, wrong decisions. That's why this is happening. Our Creator decided to cleanse the earth. God warned me. He told me to build a boat. A boat to save our family and all the animals. Every other living creature would die. And on the seventh day, God rested.
God rested. Okay. I was enjoying that. All right. That took us up to this point, right? So we're continuing. Del started us off last week with Noah. We'd like to spend a little bit of time. I'd like to key on one verse. I think we have it. Hebrews 11:7 is a one verse summary which we can key off. Okay, it says this. This is in Hebrews, referring back to Noah. What's the key? You know, it only mentions one sentence about, two sentences about Noah, one verse. It says this: by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen. That is the flood. God was going to send judgment. He warned Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, the coming flood, Noah, in reverent fear, constructed an ark, a boat, for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. That is a summary of looking back. What did Noah do that was noticeable? The simplest sentence says what? By faith, Noah constructed an ark. Noah constructed an ark. Subject, Noah. Verb, constructed. Object, ark. And the key is, by faith, Noah constructed an ark for the saving of his house. So that is, of course, that's what we remember, we recall about Noah. You hear about Noah, that's what you think about, and that's right. Del started us out, and starting with chapter 6, it tells us, and we're introduced to Noah from his family. Noah's introduced. It says God looked at the situation on the earth. God decided, no, too much violence, too much corruption. I need to set the reset button. We're going to start again. I'm going to send the flood. But then it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace on the whole earth. There's Noah who responded to God, was open to God, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it tells us Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. He was not perfect, but he was blameless in his generation, and he walked with God. He had a relationship with God. So, and then it tells us God told Noah, this is chapter 6, God told Noah, I'm going to send a flood. Here's what I want you to do. You're going to build a boat, build an ark. He told him it's this long, this high, this wide. Here's the materials. Here's how to do it. 3 decks. Go ahead. So Noah was told by God, firstly warned by God, secondly told by God what to do. He was commissioned with a task to build the ark, right? And we read it, and it says one sentence, everything that God told Noah, he did. That one sentence covers 100 years. Whatever God told Noah to do, he did. So that whole task of building the ark, think about it. There's no power tools. No, right? You don't go to Home Depot, to Lowe's, right? Oh, I need so many. I need a couple of million 2x4s, some 4x6s. I need whatever. That's why it took him that long. Okay, of course they had help. Noah built the ark, built the boat, right? And then it says, God says, Noah, you're righteous. And Hebrews tells us, by faith, Noah constructed an ark to save his household, and he became an heir of the righteousness which is through faith. So I like to point out to you, Noah is called righteous two times, two occasions. One is early in chapter 6, second time, beginning of chapter 7 of Genesis. Both times it says Noah was righteous. The first time is initially, it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and Noah was righteous, right? So that's the beginning. That was kind of midway, if you read Noah's life. Yeah, Noah lived a long time, like people in that age. Midway through his life, he was 500 years old. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he was righteous. For us, that is like our initial salvation experience. You find grace. God offers us grace in Jesus Christ. He offers us forgiveness in Jesus Christ. He makes us righteous because Jesus paid it all, right? And we begin to have a relationship with God. That's the beginning of our Christian life, if you want to parallel our life with Noah's life. Yes, he lived a lot longer, but we also have a life. We have a beginning with Jesus. We're saved by grace. We're righteous. But then God showed something to Noah. God gave Noah a task to do. God warned Noah, and Noah responded to that word of God, what God told him to do. And Noah went ahead, and for the next long period of his life, he was carrying out that task. Then at the end, when the ark's done, is built, God still says to Noah again, I found you righteous. You know, so Noah responded. Now he is righteous not only by his faith, initially believing in the Lord, by walking with God. Now he's righteous in that he's finished the task that God has given him to do. So Hebrews says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not yet seen, prepared an ark, constructed an ark for the salvation of his house. And yes, he condemned the world because God could send the flood, but he became an heir of the righteousness which is through faith. There was something more that God could say, Noah, you're righteous. Noah, I approve of what you've done. I asked you to do this. You did it. Noah, I approve. I accept. I endorse what you did for me. Noah, you're righteous. And God went ahead and sent the flood. I like to compare that to your life, my life. And I think we can apply it in this way. You know, we're Christians, we're believers in Christ. And God, you know, we should be seeking the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? What task have you got me, do you want me to do? In where I am, in my situation, God, you put me here. I'm in Toronto, 2014, June. What do you want me to do today? Right? We should be open to the Lord. You know, so we believe in the Lord by faith. We're saved then, you know, God wants people on earth today who will cooperate with him. You know, and that day, yes, God had one man, Noah, and he had a big task for him, a mega task. He's going to send a mega flood. He needs a mega boat. So it's a big task. And today, God is not asking us. God does not want a boat, I don't think. You know, some people on the earth, some people do reconstruct Noah's ark. You can, in Hong Kong, I think it is, there's one. In his one, if you go to Holland, you can Google it. Somebody's reconstructed, according to dimensions, well, you know, and they, of course, this modified, right? They've constructed an ark to show people, you know, and if you, I think that one, if you go inside, there's real animals. And if you go to Israel, there's a small ark you can go and see. You go to, okay, so you got a choice. If you're in the Far East, you can go to Hong Kong. Somebody's reconstructed. There's a model. Go to Europe. There's one. Go to Israel. There's another one. You can go and see what the ark was like. But actually, for us, you and I today, God is not asking us to build an ark with those dimensions. But in principle, we can still ask, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? What will take us through? You know, I like to point this out to you. That ark which Noah constructed went through the flood. Right? Whatever else Noah did in his life, he may have built a house, he may have previously built a barn, he may have done other stuff, we don't know, we're not told. Whatever else he did, didn't make it through the flood, but what he did in response to God, to God's telling him, speaking to him, that ark went through the flood. And that ark came out the other side and it landed on Mount Ararat in the new, right? There's a new cleansed earth, a new beginning, and that ark went through. Amen. Right? You know, so I think you and I should ask, Lord, what is it? What is it that you want me to do today? You know, in the coming years, what is it that you want me to do for you, responding to you, which will count? You know, yeah, God is not sending another flood. It's clear. There will be a judgment coming, right? Eventually, whether that judgment on the earth comes in our lifetime or not, or we pass away, still, you and I will meet the Lord on the other side, one way or the other, and you know, we should ask ourselves, Lord, what is it today that I can do for you which will count, not just here and now, it will count on the other side, it will be approved by you, accepted by you, endorsed by you, right? Okay, Lord, I want to do something like that, that will pass through judgment, will pass through the other side and be approved by you, accepted by you. That's what Noah did, and that's the kind of principle that I think we can learn. We can take. Amen. Jesus, right? You know, the Lord is living today, right? We believe in him. If you're a Christian, you're here, right? We don't know how many years we have, but you have some years ahead of you, months, days, weeks, months, years. Lord, we like to use that. Noah used that, right? For that long period of time, he and his family constructing that ark. That ark went through the other side, took them over, and it counted with God. God would say, Noah, I like that. I approve of that. I accept that. Amen. What do you and I have that God will say, I like that, I accept that, I approve of that? I think that's good. So we should ask, what do you like me to do? And the other side is, I like to point out to you, you know, Noah spent all that time building the ark. Do you think people understood? He's building a boat, a big boat. Other people are doing other stuff. a lot of other stuff. Noah is spending his days, weeks, years. He's building a big boat. You think people liked it, appreciated it? Or did they ridicule? Did they criticize? Noah, what are you doing? You're cuckoo. Or loco. In Spanish, they say loco pollo. You're a crazy chicken. What are you doing? Right? Or they're offended. You know, on the other movie, the recent movie of Noah, the trailer, the local warlord comes along and says, Noah, are you rebelling? Are you rebelling against me? Is that what you're doing? Noah says, you know, God told me to do this. I'm doing this. We have to respond to the Lord. Other people, the people around you, may not understand, they may not appreciate, they may feel you're wasting your time, your energy, you're misdirected, misinformed. Our answer is, I'm responding to God. I want to do what God tells me to do. I like to do that. I like to respond to Him. God likes that. People may not approve, God approves. People may not understand, God understands. People may not agree, God agrees. Amen. Right? May we do that. You know, hallelujah. Amen. You know, there's no, you know, in history, people have said, oh, what's Noah's Ark today? It's the church. It's the church. That's Augustine. If you're not in the Ark, you're going to go, be gone, washed away. You got to be in the church. No. Salvation is not through being in the church. The problem with that interpretation, application is, if you say the church is the ark, you're telling people you get into the church, you're saved, you're not in the church, you're not saved. No, salvation is by faith, by grace, by believing in Jesus. That's salvation. You know, then the tendency is to say there's one ark. If you're not in this church, you're out there. We're building the ark. You're building a canoe. You're building a kayak. We're building the ark. No, God is not building. The ark today is not a particular church. It's not the church. The ark today, the ark signifies God's salvation. Today, there's no one person, Noah. Where's Noah on the earth? The answer is there's no Noah on the earth. Noah was back then. Wrong application. You know, I think the right application is to ask, what does God want you, want me to do today? If God tells you, do serve in this way, work in this way. You know, one, and a good place to start is start right with your family. Noah prepared an ark to the salvation of his household, his family. I think we have two verses in Psalms have this idea of, you know, we want to tell our children, our grandchildren, yeah. Okay, Psalm 78 says this, we will not hide what God has done, what God has done with us in our history. We will not hide them, God's deeds, God's doings from our children. We will tell God's doings to the coming generation, the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders He has done. He established the testimony in Jacob, appointed the law in Israel. He commanded our fathers to teach their children. He commanded the fathers to teach their children that the next generation may know. We should teach our children that the next generation may know God's doings, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children so that they may set their hope on God. Here's somebody with a perspective for the next generation, even beyond the next generation. He's saying we want to rise. We should tell our children, that's the next generation, so they can know, even the children that are not arrived yet, they will arrive, children yet not born, so that those children, we tell our children, so that those children can tell their own children, that's your grandchildren, so that they should set their hope on God, right? You know, it's a good place to start. I want to tell my children that they could tell their children and so on. It goes forward. Praise the Lord. You know, if we could help our children, they could help their children, and so on. You know, I think we should be happy. You know, this is, if you're a parent, here's a task. You don't, actually, you don't have to pray. God, I really have to tell my children? Yes. God, do I really have to teach my grandchildren? Yes, you do. And don't just teach them math, English, Chinese, whatever. You have to teach them about God, about Jesus Christ, about what God has done. This is a task committed to you, committed to me as a parent, as a grandparent. It's yours. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm happy. You know, my parents weren't that educated. Their jobs were not that fantastic. My father worked shipping and receiving. You know what that is? You know, there's a factory. They made cloth, textiles, shipping, receiving, receive the cotton, the rolls of cloth in. They made them into shirts, ship them out. This order goes here. That order goes there. That was my dad, shipping and receiving. My mom started as a home, like a tailor, dressmaker. She made clothes for people at home. Then on the evening, in the evening, she went to night school and qualified to be a teacher. She became a high school teacher. Right? Praise the Lord. You know, I appreciate that. They were not, you know, they were not the up top class, upper class. No. But one thing they did, they had three boys. Hallelujah. I'm number three, right? My brothers were here a short time ago. Three boys. Okay, one thing they did, they told their sons about Jesus. They brought their sons to Sunday school from the time they were in diapers. Right? When I was in diapers, in England they call them nappies. And they were cloth. They didn't have disposable diapers. When I was in nappies, I was brought to children's meeting as a toddler, and I sang, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Right? They did that, and they brought us through Sunday school, right, to a children's meeting, and through the youth, and they made sure, and it was in, yes, Sundays and at home, they led us, and they didn't have a car in the beginning, so... Right? They took us Sunday morning, they took us out from home, walked us to the bus stop. It seemed like a long way. I was a little kid. 100 meters is a long way when you're a toddler. We walked 100 meters to get to the bus, and we waited for the bus, and we took the bus to another place, and we had to walk again. But they took us, right? Because they felt this was important for their kids. Thank you, Lord. I thank the Lord today for my parents. Because of, you know, what they put in us, still today, myself and my two brothers were still Christians, still following the Lord, still involved in the church in different ways. Amen. Okay, brothers and sisters, friends, may we be the same. May we be the same. Lord, I want to help my children, my family, my relatives, extended. Your parents, whatever, help them to know the Lord. I have another verse for you. You know, some of us are older here. We have gray hair. I have gray hair. I started having gray hair when I was 40. But at least I have hair. Ah, all right. Okay, here's a verse for all those gray hairs. That's me. And Hazel's on my team. All right, okay. Here's a good one. This is for you. And okay, if you don't have gray hair, just wait. It's coming. All right, remember this verse. Psalm 71. Oh God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. Lord, from my youth you taught me, I still proclaim. I'm old, but I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs. This is for all the gray hairs. And if you color your hair, it still applies to you. Even to old age and gray hairs. Oh God, do not forsake me. Lord, when I'm old, when I got gray hair, Lord, don't forsake me until what? Until I proclaim your might to another generation. Right? Lord, when I'm old, when I got gray hair, Lord, still be with me. I want to proclaim, right, your might, your deeds, your power to another generation. Amen. All right? So don't get, you know, with the Lord, following the Lord, Brother Rusty, there's no retirement. Hallelujah. No retirement in following the Lord, right? We should have this desire. Lord, even I'm old, you know, I have to walk with a cane. I have to, right? I have to come with whatever. Lord, I still want to declare you. I still want to proclaim. I still want to let people know about Jesus. Amen. Amen. Right? We should desire, Lord, I want to glorify you my whole life. Amen. Amen. Do I hear amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right? Maybe you're not that old. Don't worry. It will come. You know, you can put on all those anti-aging creams, whatever. You can go and have cosmetic surgery, facelift, whatever. It's still coming. Right? But you and I should say, Lord, I still want to follow you, still want to testify for you. I still want to do whatever you ask me to do. I want to glorify you, and I want to see others follow you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's do it. All right. All right. We saved his family. All right. You know, whatever we do for Jesus counts. Whatever we do for Jesus today counts in the next age. Right? Jesus said, this is a verse in Mark. It's also equivalent in Matthew. Whoever gives a cup of water in the name of Christ will by no means lose his reward. You know, two sides. For truly, I say to you, this is Jesus. Jesus says, truly, I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Somebody gives you a cup of water because you're a Christian, they get rewarded. That's one side. Brothers and sisters, then you may say, oh, that's great. Everybody's supposed to give me water. I'm a receiver. I'm a receiver. I don't have to do nothing, anything. People will give me water. I need food. People should give me food. You're right. Brothers and sisters, it works the other way. It works the other way. Whatever you do for others, right, in the name of Christ, because you're following Christ, you'll also be rewarded. Don't just be a receiver, be a giver. Don't just be a recipient, beneficiary, be a doer, right? You will be rewarded. I like to tell you a little story. It's a true story. It was in the news. You may have seen it. There's a girl. Her name is Hamamatu. Do we have that picture? Yeah, her name is Hamamatu. Have you heard of her? No. Let me introduce. Here she is. She's pretty. Right? She's in Central African Republic, Hamamatu Haruna. She's age 10. Okay, here's a little girl. Her family is Muslim. Is Muslim. Okay, in Central African Republic, a lot of trouble, a lot of conflict. Okay, her family, there you go, those are peacekeepers. There's a lot of violence there. People came to her village, fighters. Right? And her mother, there's five children, her mother grabbed three kids and took them away, ran out of the village to hide. She was left. Now, this girl you just saw, she has polio. It affected her legs. She cannot walk. She's age 10. She has polio. She can't walk. She can crawl. And she has a brother. She was age 10. Her brother's age 12. The mother had three younger children. The mother grabbed the three younger children, ran. Her brother, age 12, grabbed her, carried her into the forest as far as he could. Then he had to leave her. He's only age 12. She's not much younger than him. He left her, there in the along the path. She said, he said, I'll try and come back. She was there. Remember, she can't walk. She can only crawl. She remained there for days. Days. And some people came by. She said, I need water. If I don't get water, I'm going to die. They laughed. They went on. Eventually, after 10 days, a Christian soldier came by. A Christian soldier with his gun, with his wife. They're walking along. She said, 10 days without food, without water. She thought, I'm a Muslim. He's a Christian. We're on different sides. He's going to kill me. Right? He came to her. You know, she said to him, what have I ever done to you? Nothing. You know, I need help. This Christian soldier took hold of her, lifted her up. He carried her to the river. He had his wife wash her clothes, and then carried her to the village. From that village, she got taken to another village. From that village, she's taken to a refugee camp. Praise the Lord. There she is, Hamamatu, right? She's there. Why? Because somebody did something. A Christian. She doesn't know his name. She does know that when I was on the, you know, about close to death, somebody came to my help, came to my rescue. They helped me. They took care of me. God will, not only she will remember that, God will remember that. Whatever's done in the name of Christ, God will remember. Brothers and sisters, maybe we don't have that kind of opportunity. We have another opportunity. Let's do what the Lord leads us to do, and he will reward us. Noah obeyed the Lord, did things that count with the Lord, okay? And he arrived at the other side. In the new setting, new earth, God made a covenant with Noah, right? Noah, I'll never again flood the earth. I promise you, God sent the rainbow. God made a new arrangement. God changed the diet. And God said, okay, here's the new arrangement. Before, people did whatever. Everybody's subject to themselves. Today, whoever sheds blood by man, shall his blood be shed. That's the institution of government. That's mankind administering justice to people who need it, because man is made in the image of God. There's a new arrangement, new diet, new arrangement. That's the beginning of human government. One role of human government is to administer justice, prevent crime, appropriate punishment, right? To end, reduce violence. That's the purpose. Today, some people like to overthrow government. You saw that this week in Moncton. There are people who say, we don't need government. We're free. Right? What happened in Moncton is related to that. No, you need, look what happens. You don't have government. People get take the law into their own hands. I'm not subject to anybody. There's violence. There's killing. It happens more than once. Okay? God instituted human government to right, administer justice. Right, to have a new arrangement. That began the time of Noah. Right, government may not be perfect, but government is better than no government. Right, you have no government, you have anarchy, you have violence. Right, you have government that has a role in God's arrangement. Okay, let me end there. This week is there's an election on Thursday. If you're registered to vote, vote. Right? God arranged human government. In Canada, we have the right to vote. I'm not telling you who to vote for. The church doesn't participate in politics. You use your best judgment, right? Decide, vote. Why? It's part of God's arrangement. Okay? Let me in there. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. You're the living God. You're the living Lord. Thank you. You worked in Noah's life. You worked with Noah's family. And they worked with you. Lord, may you give us grace. You could touch us, lead us. We could cooperate with you. Lord, you could do more on this earth today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Lord, bless us all this week. We want to walk with God. We want to work with God. We want to be those who do something that counts with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.